Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hour 2 live in LA. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. So there are times, I have said this before, when I do my show every day, I feel my job is to not talk about what I like, it's to make what you like the most interesting I can. You drive the bus for this show. Anybody that's listened to me, even back in the Portland days, I look at a lot of research and data. You tell me what you like, I watch it. People say, you talk 70% NFL. Well, the NBA numbers the last 2 years, I've cut my NBA coverage down in the last 6 months. Why? Because the data says they've lost half their audience in 2 years on television. So it tells me you don't have a great deal of interest in the NBA in the regular season. So I'll talk about it in the postseason. I follow you. The exception in my career has been the NFL draft, where I like it way more, I think, than anybody else on the planet, not named NFL GMs. I love it. But increasingly, the data is showing what the NFL is seeing and networks are seeing is now they've spread it out on 4 days on television because it's getting wildly popular. And sometimes when I talk about the draft, I think to myself, I'm just doing this show for me. I've just forgotten about the audience. I just love doing this. I sit and watch mock drafts all day. This is what I do in the off season. So, but what you find with these as we get more and more and more and more reporting, mock drafts get much more accurate generally as you get closer to the draft. In fact, a couple days ago, one of the places I work for said, hey, would you do a mock draft last week? And I said, can we wait a week? We could have a major trade here. So I'm going to give you, based on the Athletic article, which does make it sound Shanahan's taken Mac Jones. He can help him now. So here is my mock draft today with one major trade. And I'm going to talk you through why I see this. So, okay, we start with number one, Trevor Lawrence, only quarterback, Pro Football Focus in the college football era who has graded over 90 freshman, sophomore, junior years. Let's not argue about it, waste any time. Trevor Lawrence, Jags, we all know it. He's already giving to charities in Jacksonville. It's over. He's number one. Zach Wilson, Jets. This has been set in stone. He sounds a lot like Darnold to me, but not as big. Big risk taker. I think he has big bust potential, but they like him. They need a quarterback. They made a decision. We're moving off Darnold. We don't want to have to pay our quarterback for 4 years. I get it. That's a huge advantage for front offices. When you don't pay a quarterback anything and it was about time to pay Darnold, Zach Wilson to Jets. Okay, I'm predicting what's going to happen. I'm not saying I do all of this. Okay, this is what I think is going to happen. This is not me. This is what I believe is going to happen. I'm predicting what I think is going to happen. Mac Jones, Niners, third. Why? He can win now. He's ready to win now. He's got a lower ceiling. I see a lot of red flags. But Kyle Shanahan has been in this league 4 years. He's had one winning season. And he's saying, I'm beating Sean McVay with backups. The only time I had a healthy quarterback, I got to the Super Bowl. Just give me a guy that can stand up. Also, they have a Jimmy Garoppolo issue. If Mac Jones can play now, which scouts say, you can move off Garoppolo. You can't if you draft Trey Lance or maybe Justin Fields. You can't move off of Garoppolo. I think they can move off Garoppolo at the trading deadline in October. Mac Jones third. All right. I have gone back and forth on this. What I would do is draft Kyle Pitts. I think Atlanta's got to struggle. The GM wants Trey Lance. The coach wants Kyle Pitts. But here's where I fall on this. I said this yesterday. Drafting Trey Lance, a great prospect, is problematic because he does everything that Matt Ryan doesn't do. Huge arm, wildly athletic. And when he's playing in the preseason and he looks great and Atlanta goes on a three-game losing streak because it's Atlanta and they always do, it's going to be so hard for 2 years not to play him and you're stuck with Matt Ryan's huge contract. You cannot draft a quarterback as talented as Trey Lance, play him in preseason, play him in blowouts. He does the opposite of what Matt Ryan can't, which is he's lost his arm, he can't move around. I think it's so problematic. They don't need him. And you're going to get rid of Matt Ryan? You've seen his contract. It's bad this year. It's awful next year. You got to swallow all that. They take Kyle Pitts. Okay, now it's Cincinnati 5, Miami 6. I think there's two players that are going to get drafted. I'm not sure where they're going to go. I believe Cincinnati is going to take Rashawn Slater, and here's why. If Joe Burrow would not have been hurt, you would take Ja'Marr Chase and say, I got T. Higgins one side, Ja'Marr Chase the other. The minute Burrow gets hurt, now there's going to be second guessing if you go wide receiver because you've already got a wide receiver. And remember, three-year starter at Northwestern, didn't allow a sack, super high IQ, Jonah Williams, they already have a left tackle. He's in the Big Ten footprint. The fans would love this. He's a Big Ten football player in Ohio's Big Ten country. I think they get Rashawn Slater, and this will have ramifications later. Stay tuned. Number 6, Miami. I think if Ja'Marr Chase goes to Cincinnati, they'll take Slater because they've got Austin Jackson left tackle. So my feeling with Miami is Cincinnati will depend who they take. If they take Slater, they'll go Ja'Marr Chase. They already added Will Fuller, but he can't stay healthy, Devontae Parker. So this is just another weapon. I think Miami likes Kyle Pitts, but they're playing the draft manipulation draft pick game. They're not going to give picks away that they already garnered. So I think they go Ja'Marr Chase, who I think is a home run. And again, Tua's going to win some games. This offense now and this coaching staff and special teams are getting better. Number 7. I have no idea what Detroit's doing. They need everything. I do not believe they're going to take a quarterback. So let me explain this. So Trey Lance and Justin Fields are out there right now available. Denver doesn't need to trade up. Why? Because Denver, according to reports, likes both of them. And they're going to play Drew Lock to start the season. They don't have to trade up. There's no reason to give away 3 first-round picks. So I think Detroit's going to look at this and go, listen, we got Jared Goff. We got this deal. We have not had a Pro Bowl offensive lineman in Detroit in 21 years. Okay? They've had one in 21 years, excuse me, TJ Lang. Goff is not a guy that throws well under duress. And I think Detroit's scouting department says Penei Sewell is the highest graded guy on our board. We got to protect this kid. Penei Sewell, you know, he's the best left tackle. A year ago, we talked about it. And I think Detroit needs everybody. But they take Kyle Pitts gone. They're not going to take a quarterback. They would have taken Slater. He's gone. So he's just going to be such a highly graded player at a position of need. Sometimes you're just like, it's stupid not to take him. Now I think there's a trade. Denver, again, doesn't have to move up because Denver likes both the quarterbacks and is not going to ask either one of them to play, at least for the first couple months of this year. Drew Lock will. New England now has their eye on one of these two. So I believe New England wanted Mac Jones, can't get him for what their system is. They're going to go Trey Lance. Perfect, because Cam's going to start for this year. They do not need to start a quarterback. They put Trey Lance. First of all you're hearing about him is maturity. It's all the stuff Belichick loves. Maturity, huge IQ, total selfless team guy. I mean, you go read these quotes. Everybody says the same thing. He's so New England. Mac Jones and Trey Lance feel like New England. And New England now, unlike Denver, I believe has two quarterbacks they like. One, Mac, is off the board. They move up with Carolina. Now, why would Carolina move down? Because Carolina needs a corner. You can move down to 15 and get a great corner. It's a great corner draft. And they need a left tackle. There's about 6 in this draft. And Carolina's like, well, the guys we like, Slater and Penei Sewell, are gone. So why not move down? So if both those tackles are gone, I'm Carolina. I'm going to move down to 15, trade with New England. They take Trey Lance. Denver, who would have taken Trey Lance or Justin Fields, doesn't have to give up picks and says, we'll take Justin Fields. Have him sit for at least to the trading deadline with Drew Draw, or sit for the whole year. What do we care? It's a new GM. He's not going to get fired. Drew Lock can go 7-10. You're not going to get fired. You develop Justin Fields. You got John Elway in the building. It feels right. And number 10, an unbelievable talent. Two GMs in the NFL have told me they think he will be the steal of the draft. The Dallas Cowboys need a corner badly. J.C. Horn, 3-year starter. He is tough. He's got a little keep to lead. He'll bang you on the run game. He is hyper-aggressive. You know, he's got dad was a great pro football player. Big games, Auburn game last year, big games. He's a great player. And I think there's I just think everybody I know loves this kid. So that's my mock draft. And I gave you reasons for it. I think Denver, once Atlanta goes Kyle Pitts, there's no reason for Denver to rush up. Why give away three first-round picks? New England's different. I think they know Cincy's not taking a quarterback, and they know Miami's not. But then you get into that 7 or 8. I could see New England trading if they get a little nervous with Detroit or Carolina. Carolina's already said they'd move down. There's a story this morning. Joy reported it. Carolina's considering moving down. And in a draft that's got a lot of left tackles and the two best are gone, you move down to 15, you could get Elijah Vera Tucker maybe wide open. All right, Klatt. Heard brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Joel Klatt now joining us. Well, there's a lot to unpack there. Holy moly.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad.
All right. What did you make of was there anything in there that you really agreed with or didn't?
No, listen, like I said, that was all very reasoned. I think the one that I'm having trouble with is if Atlanta decides not to take a quarterback because of the reasons you outlined, right? You don't want to take a guy that everyone's going to be screaming for and you have no ability to get out from under Matt Ryan, right? I think that's logical. Having said that, they've got cap problems outside of Matt Ryan, right? Like their cap is destroyed the next couple of years. I think that the fastest way to get out of a cap situation is to get more picks. So I think that they might actually value dropping down a little bit, which means that I think that a quarterback, regardless of if it's Atlanta or not, is going to go 4, which then triggers Denver to go up to 6 to Miami. That's something that I could see happening. If a quarterback goes 4, or if one of the other quarterbacks, not Mac Jones, goes 3, then you're going to see, like, I see some real fireworks, in particular Denver at 9, knowing that they're going to have to go up to try to get the Drew Lock replacement.
I think you and I agree on Mac Jones. We see a more Kirk Cousins, and that's a lot of picks to give up. But it is interesting. I thought about this as I read the Athletic article by Bruce Feldman. If you take Mac Jones, that means you're telling everybody in the building, we think he's ready to play now, which means Garoppolo could be expendable very quickly, either before the draft or after the draft, or by the trading deadline, and I could recoup some of my picks trading Garoppolo if he tears it up for 7 or 8 weeks. I am coming, though I have my reservations with Mac Jones, I do feel this morning San Francisco's taking him. I don't think Kyle Shanahan wants to develop another guy.
Yeah, I think, listen, I don't know what they're going to do, right? But he's not the best quarterback at 3 if Lance Fields and him are all available. He might be the most ready, okay, but he wouldn't be the best. And I think that you would have to wrap your arms around that. He's kind of a poor man's Joe Burrow. If you take Joe Burrow and you rank him in all the different categories, then Mac Jones would be like a step or two behind him in every single category, from athleticism to off the field to accuracy to arm strength, everything, right? But he is an unbelievable anticipatory thrower. He throws with great touch, and he operated a system that was not all that dissimilar to what Kyle Shanahan wants to run. Remember, Steve Sarkisian also has his roots. He cut his teeth in that West Coast system, a number of different formations, understanding how to get playmakers the ball from everywhere on the field. Remember how differently they used Devontae Smith from snap to snap. This is the type of creativity that Kyle Shanahan has. So he's like you're talking about, and I'm backing this up. He sees Mac as a more plug and play player that can go out there and handle it right now. But I will not pound the table, but I'm just telling you, he's not the best prospect there if they take him.
No, I think we both agree. We all know at least one of these quarterbacks is not going to work. But nobody, I don't want to go out if Zach Wilson's parents are watching and say, that guy's a bust. But I got to tell you, you start looking around and I start reading all these anonymous quarterback scouts. Rookie coach, wacky owner, bad O-line, team's history. Face Belichick and McDermott twice a year each, and Brian Flores. I do think Zach Wilson has big ceiling, low floor. Is that fair?
That's probably fair. And you know, to be honest, I don't know who I would take if Darnold coming out of college was coming out of college right now. If you just evaluated them as prospects, you know, which is the better prospect? Now, we have a few years, and it's like, well, was Darnold a failure or was that organization a failure? Like, let's be honest. Because as you're talking about, fit has so much to do with this. And these quarterbacks taken up there, they're going into very difficult situations to have success earlier in their career. Now, Wilson's a phenomenal player, phenomenal player. I love his game. His ability to create velocity and accuracy off platform is uncanny. You just don't see a guy that can throw the football like this come along, you know, every now and again. He's kind of a unicorn in that respect. But to your point, you know, is he going to go in and immediately make the New York Jets better? I don't know. I mean, he raised his completion percentage 11% from 2019 to 2020. Why is that worrisome? One, it speaks to kind of a 1 year where you're really excelling. And two, in that year, in 2020, they didn't play a Power 5 opponent.
That's right.
So, you know, again, fabulous player. I understand why he would be selected up there. But I think that low floor, high ceiling is an apt description.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating stat. He literally changed his accuracy in 1 year of college football. Shocker. It was the year BYU, because of the pandemic, didn't play anybody. And then all of a sudden he was great. First, I saw him the first 2 years.
And he did, by the way, he did, I don't want to just say it, he did get healthy, right? Like, he had some injuries that were going on, his hand, his shoulder, that affected him. Just to be fair, right? I mean.
Yeah, yeah. We're all about fairness here. And Big J journalism. All right, Devontae Smith, wide receiver. Somebody's going to drop in this draft. And quarterback's too valuable to drop, even if Trey Lance is a, you know, needs to sit for a year. The two offensive linemen are both grade incredibly high. There's not a ton of defensive players, but there's a lot of wide receivers, a lot of them. And Devontae Smith, it's official, is 6 feet tall and 165 pounds. That feels like, to me, this is the drop guy, that you could talk yourself out of him and say a lot of teams could go, what the hell? I can get a receiver later in the draft. There's too much risk here. You're kind of take away in his size and that thought.
Great question. Let me start by saying I believe his success will 100% be tied to the ability of the offensive coordinator and play caller to have the creative vision to utilize Devontae Smith properly. Okay, so I don't want to knock him because, again, like, he can do it. But if, and this is where NFL guys drive me nuts, right? Like, their hubris is insane. You know it's true, by the way. And a lot of them watch you. And you guys are sitting in your office right now, and you know it's true. Your egos are out of control. And if you're sitting in your office right now and you're thinking to yourself, like, well, great, he's, you know, I'm going to take him and, you know, I can make him just kind of a standalone outside wide receiver, then he's going to fail. And it's not his fault, it's yours. Okay, because if you use him properly, the way that he was utilized at Alabama, then he can be a game-changing threat, regardless of if he's 165 pounds or develops to 170 or 175. And the reason, Colin, is if you look at the way he was utilized at Alabama, Steve Sarkisian never let him just sit in one place static from snap to snap. He was in the slot. He was off the line of scrimmage. He was in motion. He was motioning across the ball. He was in return motion, going back to the same side. They were getting him the ball on jet sweeps, bubble screens, down the slot, in the middle of the field, across the middle of the field, in play action and drop back, every possible scenario. That's where he was utilized, I thought, to maximize his potential. If an NFL play caller and offensive coordinator has that vision and that plan for Devontae Smith, then you shouldn't be worried about his frame. But if you're going to sit there and have the hubris to just say he's going to be an outside wide receiver because that's what I've done my entire career, then he's going to fail, and it's not his problem, it's yours.
Very good stuff. Commendable job today. Even you were kind of impressed with my reasoning in the mock draft. It felt like you wanted to whack away at me, whack-a-mole, and you were kind of like, maybe Coward kind of got some of it right.
I mean, it was okay. It was okay. It was okay. I love J.C. Horn, but the safest corner is Patrick Surtain. And the best corner is actually Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. But they all love Horn because he's got the upside of Farley without the back surgery history. Caleb Farley had two microdiscectomy back surgeries in the, you know, fairly recently. So, but to your point about you can find a corner later, you're going to be able to find a corner a little bit later because of the way these players are going to fall.
Yeah. All right, Klatster. Good stuff. Good talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, you as well. Have a good weekend.
He, by the way, is all over our draft coverage. Joe Klatt is, he's perfect. He's played this position. He played college football. He studies this stuff. Very good.
Oh, you waited until Joe got off to tell him that he was perfect.
I'm going to
let him know next time, Colin.
I have to manage Klatt. Managing personalities here. It's very difficult.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday on Fox, the NASCAR Cup Series heads to Talladega Super Speedway for the Geico 500. The high-speed action starts Sunday at 2 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Mom always said to have fresh undies. Mom's right. Get new fresh underwear. TommyJohn.com/Herd. Go to their site for details. 20% off your first order. Good, interesting story today that Belichick contacted the Giants, Washington, and the Miami Dolphins about coaching jobs a couple years ago during that Garoppolo-Brady thing. Talk about that in a bit. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News. Sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Colin, I don't think I've ever been more excited to tell you a story than this one. I don't know if you've seen it.
You've been hiding this story. So I have stayed off my phone. You have been teasing this off air to me.
Because I want your genuine reaction.
And I've stayed off my phone.
Yeah, sometimes.
My phone is nowhere to be seen.
Sometimes we get it in the break and then it's not manufactured, obviously, but like... It's not going to be genuine.
Now, am I included in the story?
No, I'm dying to know what you think about this because I know how I think about it. So, Nick Sirianni hasn't made the best impression, right, with his press conferences and such, being named the Eagles head coach. Between him and Dan Campbell, I don't know who we're going to have better sound bites from this year. But he had another interesting moment today when he described his unique way of evaluating how competitive draft prospects are.
I played a couple of them at rock, paper, scissors, right? That was as easy as that. Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are. I'm competitive. I'm going to be talking trash to them. Did you talk trash back to me? Right? Jeopardy. There's different ways to do it. It looks a lot of different ways, but our coaches got so creative with this. Like anything you compete at, when you compete with somebody that's competitive, they're going to go at you no matter what game you're playing.
I wouldn't make that public. If I did it, because it sounds idiotic. So have the self-awareness. Even the general manager, when he said it, put his head down. Did you see Howie Roseman's reaction?
I didn't know.
He went like this.
I was engulfed.
What if you do
story.
This? If you are with somebody, think about this. If you are with a wife, a husband, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and people are watching, and somebody says something and it's kind of embarrassing, what is your reaction? You put your head down. I'm like, oh my God. The general manager put his head down. That's an embarrassing. I'm not saying you can't do it. Just for fun, just to see. I want to see. You could say to a prospect, I want to see how quick you think. Let's go rock, paper, scissors. Get a big laugh out of it. And then after about four or five times, he gets a little competitive. Come on, beat me. You can do a lot of things. But the self-awareness not to bring that up. When you're with somebody and somebody says something you're embarrassed about, you drop your head. The GM drops his head.
Look. I don't want to be serious football guy or anything. And I happen to love a good game of rock, paper, scissors.
Who doesn't?
I tweeted a video in response to this coming out a few minutes ago to the Eagles that I'm perfectly ready to be drafted. I've lost once in my life at rock, paper, scissors. And it was not to LeVar Ball, who has claimed that he has never lost at anything. So I beat LeVar at that. You already had kind of a disaster of a press conference. The tone probably moving forward, even if that isn't actually who you are, is you might just want to be a little bit serious. It just sounds a little silly. To me, who I am not a particularly, like, serious person. I don't think you should take yourself too seriously. But, like, all the stories we're hearing about the Eagles offseason are it's a disaster. Howie Roseman and the owner are meeting every Tuesday because they got time, apparently, to go over the game plan that they don't really know anything about with the head coach, who should be the only one who's really going over games. You're taking time away from him and his other coaches to meet with him about stuff you don't know about. And now your way of evaluating competitiveness with your prospects, which might be drafting, is playing rock, paper, scissors. Not, I'm a serious guy, but it's like,
not great. Just keep something
to
yourself.
It's just kind of hard. It's hard to hear that and be like, yeah, they're going to be buttoned up. Sounds like it's going to be a tight ship over there.
Would Bill Belichick say that?
No, but Bill Belichick. Okay, so let's be fair then. We know Bill Belichick is on the other end of the spectrum of that, right? Like, he would probably fire one of his coaches for going public with something like that. So what about, like, Bruce Arians? Like, I couldn't even see Bruce Arians doing that. And even if he did, he wouldn't be like, I don't think he would say that in a press conference where he's in his first year, like, about how he's evaluating competitiveness. I don't know. It just sounded silly to me. It's just like, that's just my opinion. So one criticism of Justin Fields has been floating around is he does not have a good work ethic, but he is vehemently denying that. He said it was kind of a big thing that they were questioning that. I don't know if it's just a thing that they were throwing out there or what, but I honestly take that personally. That's kind of a bigger insult to me than saying that I don't have a strong arm and that I'm not accurate. That's not going to do anything but make me work harder. I'm not worried about it one bit. The odds of the 49ers taking Justin Fields at number 3, according to Fox Bets, he has the best odds at minus 188. Mac Jones, second, plus 160, and Trey Lance at plus 300.
I am absolutely, based on everything I read, I feel very strongly that, even though I think Trey Lance is great, San Francisco will not take Trey Lance because of Shanahan needs to win now, and they also need to move off Garoppolo soon. So that Trey Lance to San Francisco doesn't feel right to me. It's Mac Jones or Justin Fields, and this morning I'm going Mac Jones.
I think that Justin Fields is a more athletic player than Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Mac Jones is ready to walk into the NFL and win now. To your point, anyone who goes to the 49ers is going to be in a great situation, and that very much matters when you're a young quarterback. When it comes to Justin Fields and work ethic, I understand why he says that that's more of an insult than anyone else, like, than anything else. Like, if someone was like, you know what, Howard, like, he just doesn't really work hard.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Like, he's got his takes are okay, and, like, he does a good show, but, like, he doesn't really work hard.
That's personal.
That's personal. It's like,
I'm lazy.
I mean, I'm up at 5:30 in the morning every day. Like, I do a 2-hour
yeah, I mean,
prep
I've
meeting.
I've
like,
had
it's like something that that's really gonna affect how you feel about what you are, because that's an intangible. That's like a character thing.
Yes, so that's exactly. It's a character slight.
Yes. It's not something that you can develop, like, oh, my arm's not strong enough, I'm going to get with, you know, NFL.
Like, lazy people
that.
They don't get super.
Because really, that's a hard thing to break. Like, that's kind of in you
kind
if you're
of.
Not a hard worker.
Yeah.
Like, you can learn things, you can develop things, but if you truly don't work hard, like, you're not dedicated to something, that's kind of in your bones. Like, that's a hard thing to break. So I see why that's more of an insult to him. So James Harden has been out recently with a hamstring strain, and now his return has been pushed back even further. The Nets announced that Harden experienced a setback during an on-court rehab session on Monday and will be out indefinitely, which is not a word that you want to use as you are approaching the end of the season into the playoffs. But Steve Nash said Harden is back to square one in his recovery, but he hopes he will be back sooner rather than later.
Even if you love the Nets, and you do, aren't you concerned about the fact?
I'm very concerned.
They don't play together,
I'm very
ever.
Concerned. Very
and it's insane. He's played more games with the Rockets than he has with KD and Kyrie.
It's remarkable. And I think that, you know, this morning, this news, it's like it kind of hits you a little bit. Like, okay, maybe we're going a little bit too far overboard with the Nets. Like,
yeah.
It's really hard to win a championship. And even in the East, like, you really need to have great chemistry throughout the playoffs. There's a lot of things that can happen. You can have other injuries to key players throughout the playoffs.
Well, there's some good teams. Miami and Philly and Milwaukee are good
and
teams.
Milwaukee. And, I mean, and you have to consider also, the playoffs are a new season. You're not going team to team. Like, it's a 7-game series against a team that is going to game plan to exploit your weaknesses. So chemistry, health, having the full access to your roster And having already gone through some things through the regular season and overcoming them is really important. I don't know how, if you're a Nets fan, you're not worried. Like, you have to be concerned, especially because Harden has been incredible this season. Like, he is a guy who is not injured. Like, he's a lot of things, but he is not fragile. Like, he is always there. Now, he may fizzle out in game 7 in the playoffs, as we've seen, but he's healthy. So this is very concerning for the Nets.
It is. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
A reporter I trust and an interesting story that Belichick called the Giants, Washington, and Miami about coaching jobs a couple of years ago. That's coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting stuff. ESPN reporter Seth Wickersham did an interview the other day with a gentleman. It was published on Monday. In the interview, Wickersham, good reporter, talked about the clash between Belichick and Brady that he wrote about in 2017, that Bill wanted to move on to Garoppolo. Tom was very expensive, getting older. Wickersham says that after that season, Belichick talked with the Giants, Washington, and Miami about coaching jobs. The Patriots were unsure on Brady. His future, he was getting older. They were noticing signs. So it shows you the tension between Brady and Belichick. So now one of my theories, and I was funny, about a month ago, I was doing an interview on my podcast with Bob Costas. And I said, Bob, I like theories. And he's like, really? I never noticed. And I know I have crazy theories. My craziest one that I really do believe that Belichick considered was leaving after Brady left. And because I do think Bill Belichick can be bitter and keep score and holds grudges. That's his history. He keeps score. And that Kraft ticked him off so badly, forcing him to move off Garoppolo and getting basically nothing for it, a second-round pick, that Bill harbored a little resentment. Plus, I do think the Chargers with Justin Herbert and the Jags with Trevor Lawrence are perfect. He could have gotten both those jobs if he wanted to. He's made enough money. He could have gone to the Chargers, Spanos family, and says, give me Justin Herbert. I'll win you Super Bowls. I know Dean Spanos. They would have listened. Not that they're unhappy with their pick, but if Belichick calls, you know, it's like the Chargers wanted Brady. That's been confirmed. They would have taken a call from Belichick. Same with Jacksonville. If you could get Belichick over Urban Meyer, you would have hired him, right? So I think those were great jobs. And I do think Belichick is smart enough to know, we saw in free agency, he doesn't have the pieces offensively right now. But I do think Bill's now back into the rebuild. He's going to stay in New England. I just don't see the openings where he'd go. But Brady has not only won the divorce short term, there's a real possibility here he's going to win it long term. And again, Bill keeps score. And the two reasons are, Jason Light is a great general manager for Tampa in terms of personnel. How he handles the cap, looked pretty good this offseason. But Jason Light as a GM is one of the smartest personnel guys. Just go look at Tampa's roster. It's incredible. They have no holes. They literally have no holes. They need another running back. There's nothing they need. They've hit on, he's got like one bad pick in like 4 years. He's hit, and he hasn't just hit doubles. He's hit home runs at right tackle, wide receiver, tight end, pass rusher, linebacker, just bang, bang, bang. And so that's going to ensure Tom, for at least the next 2 years, plays with an all-star team. And they got these guys signed up. The second thing is, the only way out of being pretty good, and that's what New England is right now, all the betting services have them at 9.5 wins. That means they're pretty good. But there's this wall of great quarterbacks in the AFC. Josh Allen with a good coach. Justin Herbert. Mahomes with a great coach. Lamar Jackson. Now we're going to get Trevor Lawrence in here. You know, you're just getting to a point now where there's this wall. It used to be I have to get through Big Ben and Peyton Manning. It's about four times that now in the AFC because the AFC's been so bad at the bottom. They got all the good picks and all the good quarterbacks. Now this year they're going to get Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence and maybe Justin Fields. Denver is going to get one of those two quarterbacks. So this is what it leads me to believe. The only way to get out of pretty good is to hit in a quarterback. And that's why I believe New England, not Denver, is the one team I absolutely see moving up in it. I mean, you ask yourself, how did Andy Reid go from pretty good to great? Mahomes. How did Sean Payton go from pretty good to great? Give Drew Brees a pay cut, get more good players with Brees. So you've got to have either a superstar quarterback or a cheap quarterback. And I think Belichick knows that. They only signed Cam to a one-year deal. So you can put my mock draft up again. If you really look at, and I know you'd say it's just a mock draft, but I don't see Denver moving up. There are multiple reports that Denver likes both Justin Fields and Trey Lance. There's no reason to move up. If Atlanta doesn't take a quarterback, there's no reason to move up because the teams after him aren't. I think New England's moving up. And you read this story, if Belichick hasn't left already, it looks like he's staying. Well, how do you get out of pretty good? You got to get a star. And Trey Lance has all the intangibles they would love. All of them. I have him moving up to 8 and taking Trey Lance. Carolina has already said publicly we'd move down. Here's another story. So Albert Breer was on earlier today. It's official. Wide receiver Devontae Smith. 6 feet tall, 166 pounds. That is tiny. So now there's a comp. This is what worries me about Devontae Smith. DeSean Jackson. 13 years, only twice played a full season. OBJ. Now OBJ is thicker, 20 pounds heavier than Devontae Smith. But he's kind of spindly on the legs. OBJ, great early, hurt ever since. So now Torrey Smith came on and says the size stuff is a little overrated. Here was Torrey Smith.
For us, sometimes we picture and we think of football players and NFL players that they have to be these big, bulky, creating the lab type players like Julio Jones. But the reality of it is, you don't have to be that. And the perfect example is DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson isn't the biggest guy in the world, but I promise you he'll run past anyone and he knows how to protect himself. He's been consistently one of the best deep threats in the history of the game. And I view Smith in the same category. Devontae proved last year he was one of the best, the most dominant receiver in football last year. And now for him to have the opportunity to go into the league, I'm expecting much of the same.
So again, what is the reality with OBJ and DeSean Jackson, second part of their career? They can't stay healthy. So I think it's something you have to look at. I think they're, listen, we know Ja'Marr Chase is a prime example. Ja'Marr Chase is 6 feet 208. Just look at Ja'Marr Chase when you watch the video we put up. That's a man's body. That's an NFL body. That is a big dude. Devontae Smith, that is not a 12-year NFL body. Now, DeSean Jackson's an interesting comp because DeSean was money. But 13 years in this league, and DeSean twice has played a full season and been nicked from about year three on, been nicked up.
Well, you imagine he's going to put on a little bit more weight over the next year.
You know, that's interesting.
Because he has the frame to put on weight.
But weight is an interesting thing. Like, we all know genetically, like, I'm thin.
Right.
Well, I mean, when my son came out, I it was like he was licorice. He just flew out. I'm like, okay, he's going to be skinny. My son now is 6'3", about 160.
Right.
Looks like me in high school. But can you gain weight?
But if you are training to build muscle, and
okay.
he's not gonna put on 40 pounds.
But let me ask
put
you,
on 20 pounds.
Let me ask you this. Wouldn't he have put it on at Alabama, which, by the way, has the most sophisticated weight training system in college football?
He's also going to be older, though.
Yeah, but how much does your metabolism
your body
slow?
Changes. It's not so much about – he doesn't need to get thick. It's about putting on some man weight. He's going to get a year older. He's going to be in an NFL system, an NFL weight room, NFL trainers, NFL nutritionists.
Yeah, but Bama's got all that.
No, they don't. They have Alabama.
Well, but Nick pays. They pay a lot of money. Like
they don't pay NFL money, though. And he's a year older. I'm not saying he's going to put on 40 pounds, nor does he need to. Like, part of his frame is what allows him to be so fast, which is why the DeSean Jackson comp is what everyone is looking to, because DeSean isn't big, but he's very fast, and we know what that threat can offer. But DeSean is not he's not consistent. That's what the issue is.
I'm predicting now Devontae drops.
I think he does, too. I don't think those numbers help him. When he's got 15 pounds on me.
Think about that. We are the same height. I weigh 30 more pounds. I'm thin.
But
I mean, I'm going to stand up right now. Look at me. I'm thin. Yeah. Am I not thin?
Okay, but you didn't win a Heisman. You're not as fast as Devontae Smith.
30 more pounds.
There's a reason why. And I think he could probably take a tackle better than you. I'm just going to say it.
I don't know. I'm very physical. Hour 3 next.